Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Well, let me say nothing else before I play you a clip of the movie that's expected to be a big draw at the box office this weekend. It's Hangover 2.
Hey, everybody, here's some fun facts. The population in Thailand is 63 million people. It is twice the size of Wyoming. None of you know stew like I do. I can't even tell you what we've been through because we made a pact. What I can tell you is this. This is not Stu's first marriage. There was a whore in Las Vegas a couple of years
ago. All right, time's up. You sit down, bud.
All right, so this is very, very much like its predecessor. In some ways, it's like an eerie sort of deja vu. However, this one is perhaps more over the top than the first one was. And the first one was over the top, I think we can all agree. We're joined by Jeff Yang right now, who writes the Asian pop column for the San Francisco Chronicle, and Kristen Meinzer, our Takeaway producer and co-host of the Takeaways Movie Date podcast. Let me just get this out of the way. Neither of you liked this movie.
You could say that.
Kristen. I actually hated it. I hated the first one, and this one, I didn't think it was possible to hate a movie more than I hated the first one, and I really, really, really hated this one.
All right. Jeff, you liked the first one.
I had very, very few expectations going to the first one and was surprised. I mean, there were moments that I thought were shocking enough to get me out of my seat. And the problem, of course, is that with movies like this, in order for them to work effectively, you have to feel like they are really equal opportunity offenders. Like, this is, you know, about a vision of reality which is so crazy, so extreme, that that everybody is implicated.
Right, that they're offensive, but in certain ways they're colorblind about it. That, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, they'll make fun of you no matter what.
It's like the South Park phenomenon,
right?
Yes.
Right. That's not the case in this movie.
I feel like the first movie had sort of an intensely masochistic streak in some ways, in that it did show these characters going through things which were completely self-destructive and destructive of other things around them. This one was, from the get-go, it felt like more like a sequel to Saw than it did
sadistic.
To The Hangover. It was sadistic. It was like torture porn, you know, really
that,
abusive.
That does not sound funny to me. All right, but that's not what got you all angry and got the blog post.
Well, I mean, it was to a certain extent, because I felt like this abuse and exploitation really did disproportionately hit certain groups, and Asians are certainly one of them. I mean, as soon as you... If you're Asian and you had misgivings about The Hangover set in Bangkok, every one of those misgivings, in my opinion, comes to full, bloody, vivid reality on screen in this film.
All right, okay. So, Kristen, first of all, would you agree that the movie is possibly offensive to Asians?
As an Asian, and yeah, yes, I would say it is offensive to Asians, but I think it's more offensive to humans in general. As a human, I'm very, very offended. As a woman, I am. I thought it was very anti-woman. All the female characters are...
The first one was kind of anti-woman.
Yeah, but this much more so. You got a face tattoo. You had sexual relations with a prostitute. You did this and this and this. You took date rape drugs. But I just want you back here, honey. That doesn't matter. All that matters is we get to be together. That's all that matters. And I was also offended as a moviegoer because, as you said earlier, it's just kind of a rewrite of the first one, scene
for scene.
Well,
this is what we were talking about in the break before this. This movie, and I haven't seen it. You guys can tell me if I'm wrong, but I read through a summary of the plot, and it is exactly mm-hmm. the same plot
yeah,
as the first
scene
one.
Scene for scene. They just replaced the baby
characters.
With a monkey. They just
yeah, and they put it in Thailand.
Yes.
Absolutely, yes.
Which is, that's offensive to me. Because, come on, get some writers.
Well, you know, it's true. I mean, certainly from a purely aesthetic point of view, it's been written about already. This is not just a almost photocopy duplicate of the original. But it's one that doesn't meet a lot of the sort of basic tests that the first one did. It shocks, but in a way that I think dismays more than entertains.
All right. So, but here's the kicker, guys. The fact of the matter is that a lot of people are going to go see this movie. And many of them are going to go see it because of what we're talking about, because they've heard people say it's terrible. It's terrible enough to draw people to the theaters, don't you think?
It's estimated. BoxOffice.com says it's going to open with 100 million weekend. 100 million in one weekend is kind of mind-blowing.
I wish our listeners could see Kristen's face, because she is really, really repulsed by the idea that this movie will make that much money.
And other predictors out there say it could be as high as 150 million this weekend. That's enormous. That's more than most movies will bring in their whole run. But yes, you're right. A lot of people think a lot of people are going to see this movie.
And, you know, the worst thing is, I mean, the kind of biggest foreboding or threat that that kind of brings up is this movie is going to be profitable. It will make money. It will make probably enough money that, that the producers will feel compelled to do a sequel. And it just, where else can they go? They have to go to hell, basically.
There's, like, there's a lot more groups they could offend.
I mean, I genuinely think that the only way they could get more debauched, more sort of like off the wall, is literally for them all to die and go, you know, to some other, you know, infernal dimension or something and then come back to life at the end. Because seriously, this whole thing is about taking the stakes and raising them. And there really is nowhere else to go at this point.
Okay, so, but let me talk a little bit about this whole idea of movies becoming so offensive that they become on social media. And this is one way in which Facebook, and maybe you guys will disagree with me, and please, Facebook and Twitter maybe hurt the movie business, because people are going to have seen so many tweets and so many Facebook posts about this movie at this point that it's going to have a huge opening weekend. What do you think, Kristen?
Well, I mean, I think that people have always liked to complain about movies and talk about movies and so on, but I actually think that people... When they see a lot of these tweets, they'll actually go to it. Like you were saying before, they might think it's so bad, I will go and see this movie because there's so much buzz around it. People yeah. love seeing whatever there's buzz around.
Right. It's just sped up that process. The social media has sped up the process process of getting people to movies that other people really hated. Don't you think, Jeff?
That's true. And I think there is something to be said that a movie like this, you know, the people who say to themselves it couldn't be as bad as people are saying will go. The people who say, oh my God, it is so bad, I have to go. It's like watching an accident happen on screen. They'll go too.
And they want to be able to contribute to the conversation of how much they hated it.
Absolutely.
But the big question is, does this then encourage movie studios to make more movies that offend people and are terrible?
You know, I think it does. And I think, you know, there's room for movies like that on some level. I think there's movies, there's a sense in which, I don't want to go into a movie thinking inherently that, you know, it has to not offend people. Far from it. The question, though, is there a line? And once you cross that line, where else can you go? And, you know, I was a fan of Ken Jeong and am a fan of Ken Jeong, you know, from the first movie. I thought obviously there are a lot of people who are upset by his performance, and I thought it was kind of breathtakingly committed and hilarious in a lot of ways. But, you know, again, this movie, I don't think it does anything good with or to this character in a way that makes me want to see him again. And that's sad.
That is sad. That is Jeff Yang. He writes the Asian pop column for the San Francisco Chronicle. Kristen Meinzer, Takeaway producer, co-host of the Takeaway's Movie Date podcast. I guess you guys are going to start the Don't Go See Hangover 2.
Please don't see this. You have better things to do with your life.
All right. But, you know, maybe you go to see it this weekend and really love it, in which case, either you love it or hate it. Let us know what you thought of this movie at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Even if you're not going to go see it, let us know. I'm not going to go see it. That would make Kristen very happy if you could see her face. Maybe I'll take a picture. There's more with Kristen on our podcast Movie Date. You can subscribe to get it every week by heading over to thetakeaway.org and clicking on podcasts. And looking ahead to Memorial Day weekend, we want to hear from you about who you are remembering over Memorial Day and who you are honoring through the weekend. Share your memories with us by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee. John Hockenberry is out today. Just so you both know, I am not going to see The Hangover 2. Does that make you happy?
That's good.
Finally get a smile out of Kristen and Jeff. This is The Takeaway.